Josh. So we'll just hold all the questions till the end. And so the next presenter is Kim Witten from the University of York.
Yes.
Here to talk to us about linguistics.
Okay, how do I get the...
Look at the big screen.
Look at the big screen.
Yeah.
And close that one out.
Right. Oh, I see.
Where is my cursor?
There you go.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So hi, everybody. I'm Kim Witten, and I'm in the Linguistics Department at the University of York, the York in the UK, not the one in Canada. So as a sociolinguist, one thing that I'm primarily interested in is language change and language evolution. And we know that there are all these new words that are being introduced into the language through CMC, and a lot of people are looking at the etymologies of these words and that sort of thing. But few people at this point are looking at the sociophonetics of it. So that's basically the how we know how to pronounce these words. And this has prompted some general research questions that I have. So how we pronounce these new forms and what social factors are we relying on in making the judgments that we do in pronouncing them. Thank you. There we go. So next research question that leads me to, how do these forms take on social meaning? And this idea of taking on social meaning, when we have new words that enter the language, they become sometimes specific to a certain register, to a certain community, ways of speaking. This process of how forms, ways of speaking, pronunciations, how we associate them with different groups is known as enregisterment. And Ossie Valga has coined this term, and his definition is whereby distinct forms of speech come to be socially recognized as indexical, meaning that they point to or reference speaker attributes by a population of language users. So how these forms and pronunciations come to be known to be typical of a type of person or a social group. And then at that point, these become linguistic resources. So how are people using these forms in the construction of identity, both individual identity, but then also group identity? And this is done through stance-taking primarily, especially at first. That's the first step of it, of enregisterment, is stance-taking. And I'm using Engelbretson's definition here of stance as a personal attitude, belief, or evaluation. These three research questions can be looked at through Metafilter. Metafilter provides a unique environment for looking at these because Metafilter has had an ongoing 10-year debate about the pronunciation of the abbreviated name. So the abbreviated name of Metafilter is this term here. And there's also, and they've been arguing how to pronounce it, and there's also the term by which they use to refer to themselves. I'm going to use both of these terms and call that the M set, and that allows me to talk about both of them as variables and not bias you with my pronunciation. So as I said a minute ago, this is the subject of a 10-year debate, a little bit more than almost 12 years now, actually, on Metafilter. And I'm going to give you a little flavor of what that sounds like. This is an audio clip from a podcast where the moderators, and you're going to hear Josh in here, sorry, Josh, discussing the pronunciation. And they're discussing the three canonical questions that they might come up with as they have guests on the podcast, so things they might ask them.
That'd be cool if you could have, just like the three Metafilter questions.
Well, how do you pronounce it is a question
number one. Yeah, it'd be a big one. Yeah. It's Mephi, it's Mephites. Metafilter, ask me. Metafight. I don't know, it rolls off the tongue.
Like a turd.
So you can see there's some response, some reaction, different pronunciations, and lots of stances going on there. So what are the sociophonetic variants of the M set? I've identified eight common ones. There's actually more, and this is in International Phonetic Alphabet. So it goes Mephi, 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 and Mephi. And these pronunciations are also correlated with social factors such as dialect, age, gender, class. There's many more social factors. But phonetic variants and social factors interact with each other. And this interaction is mediated through stance taking. And so this is also more than people just arguing on the internet about pronunciation. The M set is representative of a whole category of forms that are entering the lexicons of languages all over the world. How are these forms getting enregistered? How are the variants taking on social meaning? They're also names, and names are indexical, remember, pointing to or referencing specific histories, persons, ideologies, belief systems. We know things about people based sometimes on the histories of the words or which pronunciation they choose. So maybe GIF versus JIF, Peking versus Beijing. There's also the recent work by Lauren Hall Liu and colleagues looking into different sociopolitical persuasions that are indexed by the different pronunciations that people choose for Iraq, Iraq. Whereas one pronunciation might be more highly correlated with Republican or conservative ideology, and a different pronunciation might be more correlated with liberal or progressive ideology. So again, as such, these different pronunciations, these variants become resources in stance taking. And this process of enregisterment starts with stance taking. It's roughly a three-step process. In the first step, you have a sociolinguistic variant, so pronunciation choice is associated with an interactional stance. So we have this comment here, also Mephi sounds like a cute corgi, where Mephi, the sociophonetic variant, is associated with cuteness and corginess. So that means, so then the next step, these stances are repeated and reinforced by others. And there might be conflicting stances as well, but we've got a bunch of different comments here. And they're all kind of orienting around this idea of Mephi and cuteness. And so this is reinforced. And then the third step, this gets entrenched. So then it gets associated with the people who are making those comments or the identity of the group as a whole. So at that point, Mephi indexes both cuteness and a Mephite or a Mephite identity. So the MSET is undergoing enregisterment. This is happening very slowly. Participants are building the histories and the associations with all of these different variants. New participants are always joining the debate, and they have different spheres of influence and different social factors that are guiding their pronunciations, influencing their pronunciations, I should say. Any one variant can have many different and conflicting associations. These associations are constantly shifting and changing. But over time, out of the chaos, these recognizable patterns do emerge. And by tracking this, we can go back to our general research questions and look at these two main processes. So how language change and evolution is happening, and then how identity, both group and individual identity, is created, established, and recognized by others both within the community, but then also outside of the community. So I just started looking at all this stance data, and I want to give you an overview of the data I've collected so far. There's two public data sources from MetaTalk. The first is a thread from 2006 that was posted by a fellow MetaFilter member who also happens to be a linguist and a student, and she knew about this debate. It's very well known on the site throughout the community. People go to meetups and they hear other pronunciations and then they argue about it and then they talk about it on MetaTalk or other parts of the site. So she just straight up asked the community, what's your pronunciation of the MSET? And then the next data source was a thread that I posted in 2010, and I didn't specifically ask what pronunciation was because I had done a site-wide poll for my master's thesis looking into the pronunciation of the MSET. So after people took the poll, then they were encouraged to come participate in the discussion thread on MetaTalk. So looking at the metadata for these two meta threads, the 2006 thread has 102 comments by 63 different MetaFilter members. The 2010 thread has 472 by 187. And then I took all of the comments in both of these threads and I coded them on a variety of stances and factors. The three main ones that I'll look at here, the first being whether or not the comment stated a pronunciation preference for the MSET, either variable of the MSET, whether or not there was a cultural reference that was indexing a person, place, or product or thing out in the world, so what they were relying on to take a stance, whether or not it had something like that in it in the comment. And then the third one was this notion of correctness, so whether or not there was a stance or a judgment made that maybe it was something like right, wrong, good, bad, correct, incorrect, should, proper, that sort of thing. And we'll look at examples of all of these. So a quick overview of the results of this. Now these two threads aren't directly comparable, these are just descriptive stats, and this just guides research further. So if we look at the first four bars, the whether or not states a pronunciation for the MSET, we can see that the abbreviated name for MetaFilter is stated much more than the name by which they use to refer to themselves. And this is pretty well known. I think the abbreviated name is the much more salient variable here. And then the Mephite, Mephite, Mephite follows out of that, usually is in line with however they abbreviate the name for MetaFilter. Indexes for persons, place, or product, so those cultural reference. I think it's interesting to note that in both of the threads, over half of the comments mentioned something out there in the world. And so it's a good way to, it's a good thing to kind of look at further and see what things are being drawn upon, what cultural resources and jokes are being made and stances are being taken, what is being used out there. And then for the correctness stance, there was actually a lot more of this than I had originally thought reading through the comments, and I think that's interesting, and there's more in the 2010 thread than in the 2006 one. So that's an overview of that. And before I go into some qualitative examples, just want to go over some challenges in quantifying stance data. Stance data is very difficult and to code, and it's very messy. There is no such thing as automated stance recognition. It all has to be done by hand and interpreted, and people can have varying interpretations, so you have to make sure your methodology is consistent and sound throughout. Each stance varies, and that's dependent on participants and context, and as well as other factors. And right now, there's no typology of stance that currently exists. So it's up to the researcher to decide which categories are salient and then code accordingly. So to look at some examples, as far as stating a stance about pronunciation, I looked at these types of stances two different ways. So whether or not it was an explicitly stated stance, mefi is what I say, versus a non-explicitly stated stance. So easy, just do it like this, me fi fo fum, me fight ho hum. So in this case, there's some unpacking to be done to figure out what the pronunciation is, unpacking when you're reading it, what the pronunciation is for that particular commenter. And this is usually kind of buried in a cultural reference or some sort of wordplay. Similarly, when taking a stance using a cultural reference, I looked at this two ways. So there was the transparent version. It's spelled M-E-F-I, but it's pronounced throat warbler mangrove. And then they explicitly state backslash Monty Python. So if you're not familiar with Monty Python, you know that it's a Monty Python reference. But then with the oblique version, I'd have called it a chazwazer. You'd have to know that that was from The Simpsons. And again, it requires some unpacking. And presumably, the person who made this comment recognizes that there's going to be some portion of the audience that's going to have that cultural knowledge to be able to get this reference. And that also says something about how people perceive what is of interest to the community. Looking at correctness stances gets a bit more complicated, and this is just three examples of different types. So we've got a right-wrong stance, no explanation why, but it's right, damn it. We've got a good-bad stance. Using meh in any label equals hipster snark, bad, doom, no good. We've got correct, incorrect. I always thought meh-fi, then I started going to meetups and was roundly corrected to me-fi. And then we've got this comment here. I've always been a me-fi, but I heard someone calling it meh-fi, rhyming with that kid from Family Circus, and I think that's funny and charming, but wrong. And this shows you, and we're going to break this comment down, a variety of stances can be enacted in a single speech act. So in this first one, we've got a pronunciation stance. I've always been a me-fi, or me-fi. We've got a cultural reference, that kid from Family Circus. It's Jeffy from Family Circus. Evaluative stance, which I didn't get into too much before. This is very difficult to code, but I wanted to show that there's these other types of stances going on. That's funny and charming. And then a correctness stance, but wrong. And then there's another type of stance here, too. There's many others. But I wanted to point out this alignment by others through favoriting. So as Josh explained, favorites are officially a bookmarking system, but people use them for a variety of ways. And people can favorite a comment only once. And it shows that 29 people had aligned with this in some way. And when I look at my poll data, I can see that of all the 29 people that favorited this comment, they all took the poll, but not all of them stated that they prefer that they have a preference for the me-fi pronunciation. So that suggests that they're favoriting for some other reason. They're aligning with this comment for some other reason than, oh, I pronounce it this way. So again, it's another area to explore, which I hope to take further soon. So to summarize stance taking, there's many types of stances, and people use many different linguistic resources in making those stances. Stance mediates the relationship between phonetic variants and social factors. And this process of enregistrement starts with stances. We can track the process by examining and looking at the types of stances that are being made, who's making them, who's acknowledging them, and in what ways. This prompts some further research questions. So how can we overcome the challenges in coding and analyzing stance data? What methods, typologies, tools are going to be useful to us? And I think this is where the interdisciplinary approach really is useful, to see what other fields are doing and what tools they've used in trying to tackle these problems. And then also, how do we know when a form is fully enregistered? Especially, let's say, when a form changes its enregisterment status, or maybe that meaning, that social meaning, is lost entirely. What are the markers of that? And how do we track and compare the rates of enregisterment for variants and forms? Some variants are going to be more salient for whatever reason, or more frequent, or people are going to orient to them more for whatever reason. So they're going to have a different rate of enregisterment. And how do we track that? How do we compare that? So starting to sum up, the way you say this matters. Participants are enacting styles publicly, and they're shaping that group identity through these stances. Also through alignment practices such as favoriting, as well as things like quoting other people's speech, and then also identity construction through, let's say, profile creation. Stances are social positions involving sociolinguistic variables, and the name of this community, the MSET, happens to be a highly salient sociolinguistic variable. So you get this little meta-meta-ness going on there. And the name of a community in general is representative of that community's identity. So to conclude, if we continue to use our internet data, our internet communities, they become valuable resources in looking at things like language evolution and change, the indexicality of language, how meaning is enregistered, stance taking, and then also identity creation using these linguistic resources such as names and wordplay. So those are my references. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.